Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about taking on the attitude of Christ and living with a new attitude as we have our mind renewed by Christ, as all things are made new. And so we'll be looking this week at different verses that talk about the attitude that Jesus had as he lived on earth, kind of following up on the verse out of Philippians that says that each of us should take on or should have the same attitude that was found in Christ Jesus. And so today we're going to look at an attitude of obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. We find that Jesus was, the Bible says, tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. As we study the life of Christ, we see that his custom, his pattern, his habit was to find lonely and deserted places to spend time with his Father. That in the midst of the turmoil of life, of the busyness of life, there was an understood importance of prayer, of communication, of connectedness with his Father. And we discover that this connectedness was about him learning, him being empowered for obedience, for doing the will of his Father. Throughout his teaching, Jesus would be very clear that the things that he did, the things that he said, was not from his own will, from his own ambition, but rather was all about doing the will of his Father. And so many times we get caught up in the temptations of life and the temptations to sin, and we stumble, we give in because we don't have this attitude of obedience. It's the old, I know what God says, I know what God wants, but it'll be okay this time. It really isn't hurting anything. And we buy into the lies of Satan, the lies that began in the Garden of Eden, that simply questioned God. As the serpent comes along and says, did God really say? And rather than an attitude of obedience, we begin to have an attitude of doubt. And that attitude of doubt leads to an attitude of rebellion. And when we look at Jesus and we look at his life, even as he faced a trial and crucifixion, knowing that it was on its way, the Bible says that he had set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. That steely-eyed stare down, nothing's going to stop me mentality. Knowing full well what awaited him. And as he prays in the garden, he prays that the cup that he's facing could be taken away from him, but not his will, but his Father's be done. Even in the throes of anguish, in the midst of despair, and in the midst of suffering, He wanted most of all to be obedient to his Father. And the text says that it was through this obedience, it was through learning obedience in the midst of suffering that Jesus was able to be perfect and to be made perfect, to live that sinless life. So that we can have salvation as we choose to obey. This attitude of obedience is one that's not simply present in Jesus, it's one that He wants to make perfect in us. When we step out and do the difficult things because we know that God's Word tells us to, we know that He wants us to. When we love, when we forgive, when we show mercy, those aren't always easy things to do. When we've been hurt, when we've suffered, our typical human response is to want revenge. And God's Word does talk about restoration, it does talk about justice, and it does talk about making things right. But that's generally the principles behind those concepts in the Bible, is it's about restoration and reconciliation. Getting along with those that we've had disagreements with, doing the things that would bring about peace. Not a peace at the expense of truth, not a peace at the expense of God's Word, but a peace brought about through God's Word. A peace brought about through truth. Those difficult yet lasting elements of peace that often get overlooked because they are such a struggle. You see, it's not simply about finding common ground and ignoring everything else. It's about taking on this attitude of obedience that we become united because we agree with the same Master. Today, as we live life, we live life with opportunity. We live life with struggle. We live life with suffering. And it's in the midst of that context that we learn to take on the attitude of Jesus. Whether it seems easy or not, we obey because it's the right thing to do. And when we're in doubt and we're filled with questions, we gaze more deeply than ever before into God's Word for the purpose of learning what He wants, of understanding His will, so that we can obey more fully. This attitude of obedience is one that represents Jesus because it's His attitude. This attitude of obedience is one that tells the world that I believe that God's Word is true, and I believe it to such an extent I'm going to live it. As we drive down the highways in this country that I live in, generally every highway that I've ever driven on, every street, every road has a little rectangular sign with some numbers on it. And in addition to those numbers, there's generally two words, often one at the top and one at the bottom, that simply say speed limit. Now, our attitude of obedience to those numbers generally reflects how much we believe that that's true. And the common understanding, unwritten rule of the road, so to speak, is that most of those enforcing that speed limit at most places, and especially on the highway, give you a kind of a grace period. And so we don't necessarily as a culture drive exactly at that speed limit because we don't really believe that that's the real number that I'll get pulled over for. And this attitude of obedience is lacking because we think there's a better number, a more comfortable number, a more appropriate number. And I know people that'll say, well, I can drive 5 miles over the speed limit and it's never an issue. They don't care. I can drive 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's never an issue. They don't care. And what they're saying is, I've adjusted my obedience to what I believe is true. And unfortunately, we carry that over into our relationship with God, and we read God's word, and we say, yeah, that's what it says, but I can do this, and there really won't be any consequences. My obedience is adjusted based on not what God's word says, but based on what I believe it says. And when we learn to take on the attitude of Christ, we learn to take God's word at what it says rather than at what we want it to say. And we begin to mold and shape our life and our will and our direction into obedience. Our desire becomes more and more to be like Christ. And to do that, we live with His attitude. And His attitude includes an attitude of obedience. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has prepared the way for us. Your love has given us Jesus. It has shown us His attitude of obedience, even in the midst of suffering, perhaps especially in the midst of suffering. Father, I confess there are times when life is difficult and we struggle and we suffer and we think that that hardship that we face is reason enough to not obey. We begin to think it's reason enough to disregard Your word and Your instruction for a moment at least. So God, today as I pray that we would look to You for forgiveness, that we would repent and turn the other way, that we would learn from Jesus this attitude of obedience, that we would gaze more deeply than ever before into Your word. And as we gaze into Your word, we would have a clear understanding of how we should live and that we would do it. That we would quit making excuses. We would quit padding Your word with things that make it more comfortable to us. But we would ingest it into our very being, that it would become a part of who we are. And Father, as we live with this attitude of obedience, may we live in a way that expresses Your love to others. In situations that we are comfortable in situations that we are uncomfortable in. God, in all of it, may we look to You. As we read from Scripture and we understand Jesus being the author, the beginner of our faith, and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. May we learn and take on the same attitude that was found in Christ Jesus. And as we discover the elements of that attitude and the practical application of that attitude, may we learn from Him. And may we find eternal life through His perfection as we learn and seek to obey more fully. Father, help us in our disobedience, just as this man in the Bible prayed about his belief and stating his belief, but asking for help in his unbelief. Father, may that same cry be true of our obedience. Father, we do obey, but help us in our disobedience, because we want to obey more fully, more completely. We want our obedience to be Christ-like. We want it to represent Jesus. Not out of a legalistic checklist nature that makes us able to earn heaven, because that's impossible, but because we love you. And we want to make your joy complete by being children who obey, who honor our Father, who take on the attitude of Jesus, who learn obedience through the difficulties of life. And Father, as we learn that attitude of obedience, may we lift up Jesus as the author and source of everything. And as we lift him up, may many be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.